This is the Reflector Reflections podcast. My name is Annie. Join me as we journey around the world talking with fellow human design enthusiasts, specifically reflectors, as they experiment and navigate their unique design. Today's beautiful conversation is with Lindsay Tucker. Lindsay is a 6-2 reflector with the left angle cross of incarnation. Lindsay is a regular speaker at the International Human Design Conference in the States, as well as a newly published author of her first book, Reflector Reframe. Congratulations, friend. Really excited to have you here today.
I'm thrilled to be here. Excited for the conversation.
Now, we've kind of known each other. Well, we've danced around each other for a number of years now, haven't we?
I think so. Yeah. Between Facebook groups and kind of Instagram here and there. Yeah. It's a small world with reflectors, I think. And I love that.
Yeah, me too. And it's so good how we all kind of like navigate this design. We're all navigating it. And anyway, just learning and growing. And it's kind of like nice to see a fellow friend across the pond and you're like, oh gosh, look at what you're doing now. So, just want to say again, congratulations, but we're going to get into that.
Yeah.
Before we do, I want to take us back because a part of this podcast is about exploring you and your journey through human design. So how did you find human design or human design find you?
I found human design at the weirdest time. It was during COVID, and it was when the world was a little crazy. And what actually happened was I'd heard about human design 3 different times from 3 different people. And that was kind of my sign that it was time to dig into it and see what it was all about. And I tell you, as I pulled up my chart and I saw those empty shapes looking at me, I just kind of blanked. And I swear I didn't talk for about 3 days because I was internalizing everything and trying to decide, well, what does this mean for me? And what am I going to do about it? And then my mind started playing back my whole life from this new reflector lens and seeing things very differently. And that started me on such a fun, curious journey of what's possible with human design.
Yeah, I love those. I think I've mentioned numerous times I went on a 3-day bender, just crying, laughing, taking that journey back. What did you find in taking that journey back? Like, where did you go first? That's a tough question.
No, you know what? That's what I reflected on was I'm a middle child and I was very adaptable as a child and few things really bothered me. And so I flew under the radar very easily. And so I found that whole chameleon aspect of being a reflector served me very well in my childhood. And so I kind of appreciated that. And I saw that as my gift because I could blend in with whatever the situation was. But I also found that, oh, now this makes sense why I am so interested in my taste, or, you know, why when my friend buys this new purse, all of a sudden I want it. It was just I felt I was very easily influenced. And so seeing that how reflectors are so open and how we're designed to be this way, it took a little of the pressure off and even a little of the kind of negative connotations that I'd placed on myself and just gave me a bit of grace to be okay with how that happened.
Yeah. You know, truth be told, I'm still easily influenced. And I know that, but I guess that's the beauty of having this knowledge now is going, who I'm around and the environments I'm around really matter because I'm naturally going to be influenced. And I love what you said there about your friend had a new purse or something. Mine was sports. Every new friendship group, suddenly I was a different sports person.
Yeah. And isn't it interesting that now that we know that information, it's still okay to be influenced and you can have fun with it. You just don't have to commit to it and you don't have to hang on to it forever. It was one of those things where if I would like a different taste of music, I'd be kind of disappointed in myself when I was no longer interested in it a few months later. And now when I get that urge to dive deep into something or go down that rabbit hole, I'm like, okay, I'll do this for as long as it's fun. And then I'm okay to just set it aside.
Yeah, the gift that keeps on giving. So you were saying there you're a middle child. Do you know your family dynamic?
I do. That was, I'm sure, like most people, once you find out your design, you kind of wrap your head around it, then it's like, what is everybody else in my life? And so it's really interesting. My dad is a reflector, also a 6-2 reflector. My mom is a manifesting generator, and then my two siblings are generators. So a lot of that kind of big energy. And when I do think back on our kind of family dynamic, it was a lot of go, 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 a lot of not a lot of resting. And so that's where I'm happy that I found human design as a grown-up, because I can incorporate that a lot more easily into my life now. But I didn't have that control over it and that awareness when I was younger. So I tried to keep up with my generator siblings.
Oh, I bet you did. So
Yeah.
we've both got reflector fathers. Mine has left Earth school, and I didn't get to have a lot of chats around human design. He was open and receptive, and I've kind of over the last 5 years had to take myself back. How is your father still alive?
He is, yes.
Do you get
Yeah.
to have these chats with him yet?
Yes. And it's so interesting. And I don't know if it's a gender thing, but I feel like he's embodied his design his entire life. He rests when he needs it. He is so compassionate and just very interested in having deep conversations with people. So, like, so many of these reflector characteristics and qualities. And that's just how he's been living. And I know that there's different, family dynamics and relationship dynamics and things like that. But I found that as a woman, I didn't always have that same luxury, is what it felt like. So I'm trying to be more mindful of incorporating that. And, it's my life. I get to decide how I'm going to live it. But having those conversations with him, it's kind of funny. He doesn't quite get it. My mom is more into it than he is. But I just kind of say, you're already doing it. Just keep on doing it.
I was the same looking back through my dad's life, and there was a lot of conditioning there. I think it's inevitable, but they naturally, I love what you said about gender. It's possibly true because they could, just saying it out there, men could do a lot more, I suppose, than women.
Exactly.
Because my father was in his 80s. But yeah, it is fascinating to take the lid off, not just us learning we're human design, but sorry, we're reflectors. But then going, oh gosh, there's somebody else in my family. I think it's absolutely fascinating. So I'm glad that you get to have this experience as well.
Yeah, and I mean, everybody has their own level of interest in human design, and it's important that we live our design and let everybody go on their own journey. That's one thing I've learned, and it's one of those things where I think as people see, especially reflectors who are happy and living aligned, they're kind of like, ooh, a little bit more interested in it, right? And I love when people finally have that curiosity and want to know a little bit more about human design.
Yeah, so true. And you being a 6-2, your dad being a 6-2 reflector, but you're probably so different. And we found that, haven't we? We are all so unique, so different, regardless of type, regardless of even being born so close together. Our life story just makes us so different. Yeah, it's a journey.
Yeah, I've had some really great conversations with a lot of other 6-2 reflectors, and it is night and day. Some of us are just so extroverted, and some of us are more introverted. There's just you can't just peg a reflector and be like, you're definitely a reflector, and just call that across the board. We're all so unique, and that's the same for all types, all profiles. I haven't been able to find, a clone of myself in a human design profile. It just doesn't exist, and that's one of the beautiful things about human design, science of differentiation. We're all so layered and so different, and that's what we need. It's an ecosystem. We need everybody to be who they're designed to be. And nothing more, just that.
I love that. And because we can get into that, you know, needing to find someone who's kind of same as us or very similar type and lean on them. And I think that's totally okay and normal. But then it's kind of like pulling away and going, you don't need that validation as much anymore. You can kind of step into your own truth. But that's a journey. That's a lifelong journey too, isn't it? Of just
it,
not
it
even
is.
human design. God, I could get all philosophical. What's just gifted us, so hasn't it? Like you would agree, it's many things. There's many modalities, but human design has gifted us our life, our love of ourselves. And it was
one of those things where I've done all the personality tests. I don't know about you, Annie, but I loved them. Except every time I took one, it was a different result because they're so subjective. So finding human design and seeing how it is all these different modalities coming together and how it's not just, okay, you're this one type, that the end. It's more, it's practical. There's, you know, instruction on how to live your life, especially with your decision making and things like that. So I find it very tangible to be able to apply in real life. Not saying it's always easy, but at least there's those options. And once you play around with it and try it out, it really shows itself.
Yeah. I love what you said about personality tests. You know, some people can, they always put their Myers-Briggs letters in their bios. And I'm like, oh shit, mine just changes. It doesn't change too much though, but it does change.
Yes. Yeah.
I find that's also a bit of a profile thing as well, which leads me into that 6-2, which we've been talking about. I think it's one thing when we find we're reflectors and then we kind of start exploring that profile. And I've said many times, the sixth line, I have a lot of respect for because of the journey the sixth line takes. Has that been your experience? Would you share?
It really has. And I could almost plot things out like in my life just based on the sixth line. So I'm currently on the roof. And so when I was in my, you know, first phase of life, acting like a three line, just experimenting and doing all the things, I feel like I really got my fill of my curiosity. I tried all the sports. I tried the activities. I allowed myself to study different things. And there was a lot that I just, it's like I couldn't get enough of life. And, but then my Saturn return hit. And that was a pretty pivotal moment in my life. I went through a divorce and it was smack dab exactly where it was supposed to be. But since then, this coming up on the roof has felt so, at first I felt very detached from the world. Cause I thought, well, I'm just sitting here. I'm not really doing anything. And then as I guess matured into it a little bit, I hope, I've gotten to re-experience some of my memories and synthesize them in a way that is starting to make more sense to me. And it's like everything's coming together as this like collective ball of wisdom, and I'm just adding to it every day. So I'm really, really enjoying life on the roof right now. It's pretty fun.
Oh, I love that. And that Saturn return, I kind of went through mine without even really knowing what was happening, but it's such a huge thing for us. And I think as we get into those 30s, especially as women, we really start to embody more of who we are. So I love that you can hopefully enjoy this time on the roof and look down and observe all us plebs running around.
Well, I mean, I do have that two line. So sometimes I struggle to figure out if I'm being more influenced by kind of the six line or the two line and just really wanting to kind of hunker down and hermit and be in my focused little space. But I have to remind myself that those two numbers, you can't pull them apart. They're always going to be playing in this fun balance. And so there's always going to be a bit of two and there's always going to be a bit of six kind of playing in at any given time.
I love that too. You can't split them apart because they work simultaneously together. And you have a lot of twos in your chart too, don't you?
I do have a lot of twos. I do have, yeah. I kind of love it though. I'm I'm learning more about the two lines, and I encourage everyone to do this. Like, take a peek at your chart, see what lines show up. Some may be in your profile, some may not be, but I have like a lot of two lines. And one thing I realized was I get very irritated if somebody interrupts my flow state. And that is such a two-line thing. Like, I just want to be in my focus, in my zone, and like, don't bother me. And I never really understood why it was that way. And then when I kind of explored all the different lines, it made perfect sense to me. And so I try to give myself a little bit of, patience with that, and freedom to explain to people why I like to be uninterrupted.
That's a very nice way of saying it. I've got two 2-4s in my household, so I have learnt to just bugger off, is my Australianism, but just leave them alone and accept that they're going to be happy just being in their own little world. It's pretty good. But that design, here's another random question, because I've been musing over this for probably the last year. I often feel as we start to get older and we start to really embody more of our human design, we start to exhibit, for lack of better words, this design profile side of it, us. Like, I know that my line one comes out really strongly, more as I'm getting older, than my five. Do you find that as well? You were just saying there, like, your two is kind of like, your six is still more dominant, but the two's kind of like coming out the more we embody our ourselves. How do you feel about that?
Yes, 100%. And I'm glad you phrased it that way, because I think it takes an awareness, but also kind of giving ourselves permission for that other side of us to show up. Because I know for a lot of my life, I've felt like I needed to behave in a certain way or perform in a certain way. And when you get a little bit older and more comfortable in who you are, you realize that showing your most authentic self is the best way for you and for other people to kind of experience one another. So it's kind of like giving yourself permission to let that side, let all sides show. I've definitely experienced that.
Yeah. And do you find a question with regards to the sixth line as well? You know, the names of human design, like the language we get towards, 'cause sometimes it'll be like, oh, you know, I'm a heretic. I can be very heretical, but you know, you're a role model. Do you feel that that comes with a little bit of pressure to go, oh, okay, well, suddenly when I come off the roof, I'm going to be a role model? How do you feel about
Yeah,
that?
I mean, my book is called Reflect or Reframe, because I'm trying to reframe a lot of the language and just the meanings that we kind of give these. Maybe it's more the significance we give some of these human design elements. But I had somebody ask me not too long ago, so what are you role modeling these days? L like it's something that is, a constant on my mind, like, oh, what am I going to role model today? And I had to really think about it. And I think it's one of those things where when we just act as our authentic selves, whatever we're meant to role model comes out. So I can't turn it on and just say, okay, now I'm really in role model mode. So I try not to put too much pressure on myself to be that role model. But I think we all have six lines. Well, I don't think I've met anybody who doesn't have a single one of the profile lines in their chart. But maybe, I don't know. And anyways, we have a variety of the lines in our charts. And so I think we each get to experience a range of all the things. So yes, I may have a 6-2 profile, but somebody else may be role modeling a lot better than me today.
Yeah, well, that's the way it is. And in that space, it's like you have journeyed, just from me looking from the outside in, you know, you have journeyed through discovering human design, navigating it, experiencing it your own way, and then creating the work that you do, like in the blog post that you do, and that's you sharing your experience and, you know, not possibly it is helping people in that way. So that could be perceived as role modeling.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's one thing that I set out to do with intention. And I kind of started the blog because I was like, this is one thing I want all reflectors to live in the most aligned, like beautiful way that they can. And so what can I contribute? And I think that's kind of my question when I think about being a role model. It's like, what can I contribute?
I like that. Yes. How can I show up as myself? And you know, our friend Roger Campbell, he shared a post about maybe a month ago now with regards to that Ra always, well, he did subtypes for a lot of the other types. And maybe he never got around to doing, in a way, subtypes for reflectors, because you and I both know a lot of reflectors. And I kind of saw a bit of the light there, and I went, oh, that's true, how we all show up differently in different ways. Do you know what I mean? Have you read that, what he wrote about that with the subtypes of reflectors?
Yes, and I believe that he never got around to doing reflectors. So, I mean, that kind of makes sense why we don't have those subtypes. Yeah.
Yeah, I reckon we do, but I just don't know yet what that looks like. But
yeah,
I see it now. Now that I've read that and I've thought about it, I'm like, I see it everywhere of how we all just show up in different ways. Some are more vocal, some are more written, some are more like heart-led, some are more splenic, depending on where we've kind of got more activations. Anyway, fascinating. Sorry, I don't.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I love that stuff. And I had to dive pretty deep into the centers to be able to write my book. And it gives you a lot more perspective on where the qualities of our gates are coming from, because it's all based on which center they're housed in. And so someone who has a lot of, you know, activation in their throat center is probably going to be like pretty vocal and have a lot of that energy. Mine is kind of scattered all over the place, so I don't feel like a lot of anything, but I've kind of been told my whole life that I'm pretty even keel. So maybe that's why.
I had a look at, well, I was just saying as you got on, I had a look at your chart and I was like, oh, wow. You know, you've got four, well, I've just written it down here. You've got four times gate 9, three times gate 50 and three times gate 10. So even though you've got them around, it's just like you've got concentration in your chart. And it's like,
yes. Yes, I do have that concentration. That's a great way of putting it. Yeah, there's a lot there.
And you know, those years of kind of knowing other reflectors and knowing about them, and the more that we learn and the more we embody all of this, the more we can kind of look at something and go, oh yeah, that totally explains why Lindsay does that, or that's why Annie does that, or that's why such and such does that. I think it's just more love to other people to go, yeah, you do exactly what you're supposed to do.
Exactly.
In your way.
Yep. Yeah, I love that.
I want to ask you, it's kind of a strange question. I've always asked this throughout the years, but now it's probably because I take it for granted, I don't ask it as much. But finding human design, finding out you're a reflector and getting, you know, wait a lunar cycle, sleep alone, how has that been for you? I guess, firstly, do you track your lunar cycle, and do you go by the Bible of rinsing out your energy on your own?
So I went on a bit of a journey to you know, track the transits and do all that. But what I found was it was a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, because I would see a gate coming up that was in the sacral center. And I thought, this is going to be an energy, you know, energetic day for me. And I would force myself to be energetic that day. And so I thought, you know what? I like to feel surprised. So I'm just going to let the day bring what it may, and I will experience it however it comes, and just let it come, let it be, and let it go. And that's really helped me, especially when I'm feeling uncomfortable feelings, because I know it's going to leave soon enough. But I think I just like I like that variety and that mystery. I can definitely see patterns in how, you know, how I feel over the course of a lunar cycle. So I know it's there, but I don't try to pin it down. So I think that's kind of what works for me, and that's been really fun. And when it comes to the whole lunar cycle decision-making thing, that was one thing that really stumped me with human design, because I thought, what am I supposed to do during that time? There wasn't really any clear guidance, and it made it sound like reflectors just sit around doing nothing, and then all of a sudden this, you know, clarity comes and you're like hit with this lightning bolt. And that, I don't know about you, Annie, that has not been my experience. It's taken a lot of trial and error, but I feel like reflectors are better served to kind of act as if during that lunar cycle, and at the end of it, see if that, you know, that portraying of if your response was yes, how does that feel? And so that's how I approach it. But I don't put everything through that lunar cycle. Definitely not. There are big decisions I've made based more on my value system. When it aligns with my values, it's like I've already made that decision because I know my values so well that when the opportunity comes up, I can say yes quickly because it's already been vetted, you know, through my soul.
Yeah. And I think that's a really good point, which I've experienced. And I think the more we kind of get into this, we feel it too. Some of these decisions, they've already been ruminating in our minds or in our bodies. And so some of those decisions are quite easy to make because we have already unconsciously waited and then they feel aligned. But I'm the same.
Yeah.
I put everything, well, I still put most things through the test of waiting because I've had to, reframe. Reframe's a big thing. But I would joke and I would say, I can't be trusted, which was actually negative self-talk, but I meant it in a joke, but still the mind doesn't know jokes. But I meant in the joking sense of I can't be trusted, meaning I could feel many different things over the course of a couple of days and I just have to wait because it'll change. So yeah. Now it's very much like I know that I could change, like something I could be so passionate about day one and even day four, suddenly by about day 10, we'll just be like, yeah, I've lost interest now. But it might come back again. They're the interesting things, the ones that always keep coming back because they're the hits that I know are good. Yeah, stop saying.
Yeah,
I don't trust myself.
But I feel like there are kind of themes that we are okay with. There are certain things for each reflector has to decide what's their thing. But we know that, you know, we're sensitive to environment. We're sensitive to the people that we're around. So depending on what your comfort level is for change in certain things, you can make a decision quicker than others. I'm very attached to my environment. It's my home base. It's my safety zone. So any change that relates to my home is going to go through many lunar cycles because that's how significant it is for me. But then something like I agreed to speak at the International Human Design Conference last year, basically on a whim, because I knew that part of what I wanted to do through my work with reflectors was serve on a bigger scale. And this just fit into that. So I was like, okay, it may be uncomfortable. I had to travel, you know, to the States to do it. So it's a commitment, but it already, like you said, we're already kind of ruminating on things. And so those decisions get made maybe ahead of time and you don't consciously put it through that lunar cycle, but it's already gone through there.
Yeah. Yeah. And how has that experience been, like going to the conferences? Like, how have you found that meeting and being in aura with so many other human design people?
It was so intense, but in a really good way, because imagine 100 people in a room who all understand human design. And they're conscious of how they treat your energy and how they interact with you. And it's okay if you say, I'm just going to go sit in the corner because I need to regroup for a little while. So there's so much compassion and understanding, but it's still your aura is encountering big energy. And especially at this year, some of the speakers were like fantastic. And 20 years, like 10, 20 years into their journey, and you can just tell they have this huge power. I got a notification on my phone saying like, your heart rate is too high, because I had become overwhelmed by just the energy. And so I had to take a beat outside and just go sit on the grass for a little while by myself. But it's okay, because I recover quickly, because I know I'm in like a safe and warm environment. So it's a fun way to interact with a lot of people, because they all have such good intentions. And I think that's maybe what it comes down to.
We found that here as well. Like it's beautiful to be online and very grateful to have these beautiful communities where we can come together, because often that's what we had during COVID and all those kind of times. But there is something magical about connecting in aura with people at the level that you're at, as in with that acceptance. Found that as well. It's a permission slip, even more than normal permission slip of just going, this is who I am. And isn't it so beautiful when you connect with other types who haven't had the experience to be around a reflector? Because I don't know about you, but I get that a lot. It's like, oh, I've never met a reflector before. You're the first reflector I've ever met. And I'm like, ta-da. It's just
yeah,
me.
I felt like a reflector ambassador, because same thing happened to me at the conference. People would say, you're the first reflector I've ever met. And so I'm kind of like, well, I hope I'm doing a good job of being a reflector, because this is what I am. But it was so interesting. Like you said, it's different dynamic when you're meeting people on the internet versus when you're face to face with them. And one thing that surprised me was how different my level of comfort was being in close proximity to certain people. And it had nothing to do with liking or disliking or anything like that, but I could feel if somebody's aura, their energy was just very big, I had to take a step back. But there were some people that just had this, that I was like sucked in, and you know, pretty much face to face with them, because I wanted to be in that level of closeness with them, and I'd never experienced that before.
Yeah, I love that. And what a beautiful experience to have. Beautiful experience to have. At what point during this process did you, like you were just saying there before, you know, you set out with intention to create your blog to help in the best way that you could. At what point did you suddenly go, fuck it, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to go even next level now. I'm going to take this blog and I'm going to go jump one step and go, I'm writing a book. Tell me how this happened.
It was actually at the Human Design Conference last year. And, you know, I had finished doing my talk and I was in my hotel room and just kind of like journaling and writing down some thoughts. And I started to just flow into a bit of an outline, because I thought this was great. I was happy that I was able to share some information with people, but there's so much more that I want to talk about. And at that time last year, I was one of two reflectors at the whole conference. And so there was a lot of questions, like beautiful questions from people just wanting to know more about reflectors. And I thought, there is not enough information out there for reflectors. And you probably had that experience as well when you started to dive into your design. There's not a lot out there. And so I thought, this is something for me to expand on. I want to contribute. I want to add something to this body of knowledge. And so it was at the conference last year, and through a series of really synchronistic events, I ended up connecting with my publisher, and I wrote the book very, very quickly, because I knew what I wanted to say. And then it was ready this year at the conference. So basically 1 year, start to finish.
And I've seen a couple of your posts where you're like, at some point you want to throw that script out the window. And I mean, that's just the cycle, isn't it? Because tell me that journey of writing, like, you know it, you probably got to do draft after draft. I'm sure it's very stressful writing a book.
The actual writing it, getting it out of my brain on into the computer felt very easy for me because I knew what I wanted to say. It's what comes after that is more challenging because more eyes are on it. And so my publisher is Human Design Press. So the folks there, they know a lot about human design. And I had a generator for one of my editors. And so you get to see like a different dynamic. And that's what takes a lot of time because not only are they maybe not as familiar with reflector stuff, so they want to check it out and make sure it's kind of accurate, but also there was a lot of questions like, oh, I didn't know this about reflectors. Like, can you expand on it and tell us a little bit more? So there was a lot of back and forth in a really, I will say, like a really respectful creative process that required effort. And I wouldn't say it was hard because it felt very aligned. I was committed to writing my book in a way that worked for me. So I didn't go to a writer's retreat and spend 48 hours writing straight. I did it in 8 weeks, writing less than an hour a day. And because that's what worked for me. And that's how I wanted to harness my energy.
Thank you for sharing that. I've often wondered how it would feel to write something like personal and from your heart, and then it goes to an editor. Respect to all editors, but it's then they come back and it's like this, but it's like a constructive criticism, but I could imagine I've got a completely open G, so I'm going to feel every time those edits would come back, it's like, I don't know.
I had to give myself a little grounding before I opened the document each time. Like, it's going to be okay. It's not, you know, I'm not being criticized. It's the work is being made better. So it's not me. It's the work. Having that kind of divide was an awareness journey for sure.
And there's a reframe right there, Lindsay. Right there. There's a reframe. I love the word reframe. So tell us about the reflector reframe. Reframe, pardon me.
Tell us about it. Is a bit of a mouthful, and maybe it's so that people say it over and over and over again. I came up with this sort of formula to help reflectors know, live, and thrive by their design in a world that is created by the other 99%. Like, let's be honest, we're 1% of the population. The other people were the ones to create all these systems and structures and organizations. And yet we still find ourselves trying to fit into the box of society. And it can be really challenging and really, really harmful if we expect ourselves to live that way. So I wanted to put my own spin, my own take on all the human design elements. So inside my book, there is description of what it means to even be a reflector. What are all the different profile lines? I did all 64 gates and all 9 centers. And so there's descriptions of everything. And it's all written from my point of view. So from a reflector. So hopefully that will help other reflectors resonate a little bit more with the terminology, if nothing else. And so knowing your design is kind of that first step. And then understanding how powerful you are in all of your gifts and recognizing that things like the way we work, the relationships that we're in, the hustle and grind culture that we tend to live in now with, you know, everything's so fast paced. That's not for us to keep up with. We can do it a different way. So that's putting on our reflector lens and seeing things for what they are. It doesn't mean anything negative about us. It just means we have to navigate a little bit differently. So we use our reflector lens to navigate the world in a way that aligns with us so that we can live our best design, because like I said, it's all part of an ecosystem. We need to live by our design so that we can support and calibrate all the other designs. We just don't have to tell them all about it, all the details. And then kind of the final part is this understanding of our purpose. We each have an incarnation cross. We have a theme of purpose that spans our life. So how do we embrace that and bring it into our everyday life across all life areas so that you can really feel that warm and fuzzy, those feelings that that I think we're all really seeking, that maybe we haven't found because we've been holding ourselves to different expectations.
I love that. Thank you for sharing. It's all about self-love, isn't it? I know self-love gets thrown around really wanky, like our self-love, but it is so important to be our own love story. So beautiful. Sounds like it's very concise.
I tried, but wow, when I got started, there was not a lot stopping me. So there's a lot to it for sure.
You probably found also that you wanted to keep going. So Matt, is there part two? Here I am asking you about part two. It's like, you know, when you have a baby or something, people go, you're going to have another one? It's just like, I just had this one.
I just birthed this book. Let's give it a beat. But I, from what I wrote, I could have kept going, but I had to really understand and nail down what I wanted this book to be. And it is exactly what I wanted it to be. And I would be happy to continue that conversation in a next edition or part two or something like that, that's more juicy with the relationships and the work and that kind of stuff, that's like, you know, the more fun stuff. But this is the ultimate roadmap for human design reflectors. It's like, if you just discovered that you're a reflector, go get this book, you know, page through it, find what interests you and leave what doesn't, and you'd be well on your way to understanding what the heck it means to be a reflector.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for that. And thank you for your gift. You're saying there before about incarnation crosses, you know, yours, left angle cross of incarnation. I think I've seen it before, but not, I haven't actually spoken with a reflector before with the left angle cross of incarnation. Yeah, I have. How does that show up for you? Like, did you do a bit of a deep dive into you? Obviously you did, because you wrote a book about it.
Yeah,
I found with mine, I kind of like started looking at it and then I let it go. And then I looked at it again and I let it go. And it was just my personal thoughts here were, it was somebody else putting my four gates together that I was really having trouble meeting. Like, and then I had to go back to actually reading the original, like one of the original I Chings, to really understand it, because I felt that a lot of people, when they talk about the incarnation crosses, it's their way of bridging those four gates into one, which I wasn't, it wasn't resonating with me. So I had to kind of figure out a way to piece them all together myself.
Oh, you just said everything that the incarnation crosses. So that I love how you said that. It's a relationship that you get to have with your incarnation cross. And for most of us, when we look at our charts and it says something like left angle cross of incarnation, that doesn't mean a whole lot. And so I actually avoided my incarnation cross for a little while. It's probably one of the newest parts of my chart that I am building a relationship with, but I'm kind of in love with it right now, because I feel like I have a really good grasp on what it's all about. So left angle cross of incarnation is all about taking past experiences or people's experiences and reframing them into more empowering, useful information, messaging, things like that. So without even knowing it, I was fulfilling and expressing my purpose as I was writing my book, because that's what I'm here to do. And I've kind of found in a lot of jobs I've had and just, you know, leadership roles and things like that, I find myself always doing this kind of reframe and helping people work through things in a way that they can see it in maybe a more constructive or more productive kind of way, that resonates with them, right? Because if something doesn't resonate with you, especially your life's purpose, it's going to fall flat. So I actually have an exercise in Reflector Reframe, and it's called the purpose statement. and you get to look at all four of your gates, and it guides you through how to create a statement that you can use every day to say, my purpose is to da da da. And I find that having something tangible is super helpful. I'm a tangible person. I'm not good at memorizing, so I write things down, but just having that, you know, on a post-it note that I can look at and say, yeah, that is my purpose.
Yeah, beautifully said. As we do, here you go, I'm throwing you under the bus again. And we've got a lot. I'm talking to Lindsay here and I'm like, oh, shit, I'm going to ask you this question. She's like, fuck, where do I start, Annie? Best advice for reflectors. I know you wrote a book, but if obviously they can order your book, or they can order your book now, it's going to take time. But what are some of the first things that you'd love for a new reflector to know, or best lot of advice that you'd love to give them in this now moment?
The first thing I would say, if you discover that you're a reflector today, slow down. Slow everything in your life down and give yourself space to really feel into your body, because we're so disconnected from our bodies these days. We're all up in the mind trying to be logical, but that's not where we're meant to be. So slow down. And you can really appreciate that when a decision comes flying your way, you're going to feel it in your body in a certain way. Sure, you might not make the most aligned decisions as a brand new reflector, but it's a starting point. And so I think don't even look at your chart, just like slow down a little bit and take your time when you make decisions, because our strategy and authority, that lunar cycle, it's there to guide us. And so like play around with it, pretend like you said yes to whatever that decision is that's coming your way, and see what your life might look like. It's just a kind of a fun exercise, play and dress up, but with no pressure, no attachment or anything like that. You don't need to know a single thing about human design. Just like slow down and kind of let those decisions really sink into your soul.
Like that. Yeah. So good. What does Lindsay do to embody? What are your favorite things to do to rinse off energies?
I have a huge garden. I'm like such a nature nerd. My husband has recently gotten me into grounding. So go outside and like put our feet in the dirt, and that feels great. But I live in Canada, so it's not practical year round. So, I mean, I have found a lot of comfort in stillness. And so sometimes if I feel like my mind is racing, just keeping my body still helps to even out that energy. And even when I think about grounding and things like that, because like just being around nature, and I have all my plants all around my house, I said to somebody recently that when you do that, it's not that everything goes away, but it gives you a clue about what your baseline is. So that's when you can really check in and say, oh, my body feels tired, I need rest. But sometimes when we're go, 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 super busy during the day, we can't even connect with our bodies enough to know that we're tired and need rest. Or we can't even connect to say, I'm feeling really focused, I could sit down and write a story today. So when I do my grounding, or when I do my stillness, or when I take time to be with my plants, it's not to get rid of everything, it's to get me back to baseline. And so I can really understand what the heck's going on in my body.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful reframe right there. I'm not getting rid of everything, I'm just getting back to my baseline. Good one. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for sitting in space with me. It's been lovely to just chat with you one-on-one and let it all fly.
My pleasure.
And thank you as well for everything that you do. You know, reflectors don't get enough thanks, I think, sometimes for this contribution that we give to the world. So thank you for your contribution in the work that you do with the blog and how you show up, and also this book.
Thank you.
Well, I hope to talk to you. Good luck with however the book launch goes. It's obviously ongoing. I don't know if you have to do any touring or anything like that. Probably be on a lot of podcasts.
The podcast tour. That's
what
it is.
The podcast tour. All right. Well, I'm glad I got you before you become super famous. Oh. Thank you again for joining me.
And, my pleasure. Thank you so much, Annie. This has been great.
And I'll talk to you again soon.
Okay.